We have this latest audio. Kevin Durant was on with Steve Nash and LeBron because LeBron moved off J.J. Redick to now, you know, do a podcast with Steve Nash because apparently that's a thing that we needed in life. Steve Nash, by the way, didn't sound horrible. We'll get to what he had to say. He sounded pretty good on it, if I'm being honest. But this was Durant talking about Darius Garland. We got a couple clips here. Here we go.
He is, and it's like, but the defensive side of the ball is where, you know, people were attacking. Mm-hmm. If you want a chance to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you are going at Darius Garland most of the time on the defensive side.
I mean, Durant's not saying anything that Boston didn't show us.
He's not saying anything Tyler Hero didn't say either.
Right. I mean, exactly right. I mean, think about it. How many in those Boston regular season games did we know that that was the game plan? They would target Darius, and they would make it obvious that they were matchup hunting to try to get on Darius Garland to try to expose him for the traffic cone that he is defensively. And so, like, there's so much of this conversation that I find fascinating, and it really is two-layered, though, Spencer. It's not only about the defensive side of things when it comes to Darius. It's the other side of this, and this is the heavily talked about side, which is the, can you have 2 6'2" or under guards play together in the same space? Can this be something that is something that the Cavs can get away with? And this was Durant on that.
6'2" and under guard is at a premium no more as a starter. Maybe as a backup, but you have to be.
We just talked about this the last night.
It's gotten compressed.
It has.
Right? It's compressed.
Yes.
It's at like either Donovan Mitchell, Drew Holiday, 6'3". You got to be.
You can't get picked on defense. That's the thing, because we play in such a pick on game that they will really, literally, if you can't guard, they will bring you up every play.
Every 6 foot,
6'1", and you're not a bulldog like a Davion Mitchell, Drew Holiday's on the defensive side, or you're not an offensive flat out savant like Kyrie, where you can score on dudes 7 feet easily in an ISO, then I just can't see it.
Like, I don't think it's an accident. One of the big takeaways I had from the draft night, and I don't see anybody else discussing it, but maybe that's the genesis of this conversation, or at least should be, past Cooper Flagg. You want to know the run of guards in the NBA draft this year?
Yeah, I can't say I noticed this.
7 straight. It goes Cooper Flagg, then it goes 7 straight guards. You want to know how many were under 6'4"?
0.
1. You got 1. He was 6'3". So, like, I mean, like, the amount of these guards, and not only guards that are big, that are being taken as a, like, those are the premiums in the NBA right now. You can't be 6'2 and be a guard in the NBA. If you are a guard, I think that's part of the reason why the Cavs were so interested in LaMelo to begin with. Like, the idea that he's 6'5", 6'6", he's got a little bit of a wingspan attached to him as well. Like, you can combo that up with Garland, with Donovan, and not have to worry about being small, while on top of it, not having to worry about being picked on defensively.
Yeah, can I just say, too, like, this is part of the reason why I love when Fanta's on, because you could feel like you have, like, you feel pretty firm on, like, a stance you have on something in relation to sports or, like, the Cavs or whatever. And he is so passionate with his thoughts on things that, like, he always makes you reconsider. Like, you always leave a John Fanta interview, like, reconsidering something that you talked about because he's just so passionate about it. And that's what we love about John. And as I was sitting there listening to him, like, yeah, like the thing that stood out to me maybe most, everything you're saying is true. Everything Kevin Durant was saying, everything John said. But the thing that he brings up is, like, if you're going to run it back and you're going to see if Darius Garland can, you know, win you that championship and actually be a piece that helps you get there, you better be right. And I think that's, like, the important thing right now is, like, okay, last offseason, we wanted them to do something, but they didn't, and they stood pat. And it turned into a 64-win season where we had a lot of high expectations. And so that, and it was the first year of a coach. Like, their big change last year was you change coaches, and that was supposed to be the thing. And it looked like it was going to be awesome. Like, it looked like that was the right decision. Then you get to the playoffs, what happened. And now it's like, are you really going to do the same thing again? Where, like, you make a couple small little tweaks and then just run it back and, like, expect for, like, a different result this time around. And I think, like, it, like, this offseason feels like it's even more essential now that you make that bigger move. And I also sort of got to wondering, as John was talking about this, and we've talked about it as well, especially with the KD comment thrown in, is, like, I almost wonder if Darius and Jarrett almost have to, like, coexist together on this team. Because the big thing we always say when it comes to, well, why you can make it work with Darius and Donovan and having an undersized guard out there on the perimeter that gets picked on a lot is that, you know, you are so good inside when you have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen to sort of clean things up.
What I think these clips are telling you, though, is that they don't believe that to be true. Like, they don't believe that Darius and Donovan can coexist, even if you have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley being as good defensively as they are.
Well, I'm not even... Okay, so I don't... Did I say coexist? Maybe I should have said coexist. Maybe I just said, like, they basically, like, can only exist on this team together to, like... limit the damage, because my thing is, like, if you had Darius, if you trade just Jared Allen, for example,
yeah,
and your solution is, well, we're gonna have now Darius is gonna be on an island even more by himself, and Mobley's gonna be like more
right,
of a five,
because the defense gets taken away.
Now
yeah.
It's like you don't have that extra help. Now it's all on Evan. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. like, it helps to have like an extra line defender in your front court.
Yeah, but
that
Spencer,
maybe erases some of the deficiencies of Darius Garland.
I get what you're saying, but the massive takeaway out of this should be the entire NBA is telling you Donovan and Darius don't work together. There was a time where maybe it did, and a very recent time where Donovan and Darius could coexist together. The game is moving rapidly. Like, I brought up the NBA draft and the seven guards for a reason, because look at how the NBA is viewing what is currently going on. These guys are valuable because of their height. VJ Edgecombe is valuable because of his height. Ace Bailey is valuable because he's 6'8". He's supposed to be 7 feet tall. He's 6'8". I don't know where the 4 inches got lost, but he's 6'8" as a guard. Like, this is what people value in today's NBA. Go even further. The sixth overall pick, Trey Johnson, if he's 6'5", just on and on the list goes. Igor Demin out of BYU, that's a 6'8" guard in the 8 spot. Like, this is just how this works. I think the league is trying to tell you in so many ways, if you have these two undersized combo guards, you got a big fit problem. And we've been paying attention to it for how long? We've noticed that this has been an issue. But this is Durant. This is LeBron. This is Steve Nash all laughing. They're laughing at Darius Garland in this clip. They're talking about how valuable he is, but they're talking about how valuable he is years ago, not how valuable he is right now. And that's a sad reality for the Cavs. Will they make the adjustments to what the league is currently offering up?
Well, and that's why when we talk about these trades and different things that can happen, the concept is splitting up Darius and Donovan. And like, I think there are teams that can afford to have like one undersized guy depending on what you have around him. But having two is the issue.
I think you can get away with one.
Yeah,
and Donovan's not
especially when you have one who's a scorer like Darius, because Darius is an elite scorer. But it's just like you have to have ways to sort of combat his defensive issues. And that's part of the reason why I bring up the Jared Allen part of it, because it's like, if you don't have a way to sort of like right now, the Cavs kind of have a way to solve that because they have Jarrett and Evan. But if you get rid of like I guess my larger point on that specifically was like, if you got rid of just Jarrett,
mm-hmm.
would we see Darius get even more exposed than he already does?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, I think that would expose the larger problem.
I mean, he's already pretty exposed. I mean, Durant couldn't have made it any more clear.
True.
When we see Darius on the court, we're going headhunting for Darius.
Yeah.
That's the matchup that we want. We want to put our guy on Darius, and we'll switch all day in order to get on Darius, because that's an easy bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's bad news for Darius. You're not hiding anymore. The league's caught on. If you want to score, go after Darius.
I think what's so interesting about this is that
openly talking about this on a podcast in July. My goodness.
That's the thing. It's like, these are all conversations we've had, right? Like, we've talked about, can Darius and Donovan coexist?
We've been talking for a couple years now about this, for sure.
Is this the right fit?
But like, these are
three. But now it's being brought to light by
two active
NBA
players
savants,
and a former league MVP.
Some of the best players to ever play this game. MVPs in this league are all talking about this, and it's like, that's not good. That's not good. I mean, like you said, Steve Nash is the only one who brought any positivity to it, and his positive spin was, hey, back in my day, he would have been great.
He would have been great 20 years ago. Oh, fantastic. Thanks for the compliment, Steve. 216474 to below 92. Is Kevin Durant right? And Spencer's got a LeBron comp you have to hear. We'll do it all next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.